And I'm glad to be here today. Good to see everybody in church this morning. And God's given us a wonderful day outside. Amen. And it's a little cloudy. I know yesterday was just about a perfect day, and as far as the weather goes, but this is the day the Lord hath made. Amen. And so praise the Lord for that. And I'm glad to be here today. I'm glad, Pastor, I appreciate the opportunity Pastor's given me to be able to just come up and be able to share God's word this morning. And it's always a privilege to be able to do that, especially in my home church. And of course, all of you know our family, and we love you, and we appreciate all your investment and sacrifice in our family and in the ministry we have in Ireland. I'm going to give you a little update this morning about that, about how things are going there with our ministry. Pastor wanted me to say a few words about that as well, and then preach to you this morning. But before I do, I wanted to it's good to have my wife's mother today. She's visiting with us today. I'm so glad to have that. And today's her birthday, amen? And so happy birthday, Mom, and I appreciate her being here with us. I got the top 10 jokes about mother-in-laws, so let me read those to you. And no, I won't do that. If I do that, it'll be a long day for me, amen? And so we won't do that. But we've always had a good relationship together, and so I know I can do that. I can even say the top 10 mother-in-law jokes, and she wouldn't be offended at all. And so we always have a good time together. So praise the Lord for that. I'm glad she's here with my wife today as well. As you know, of course, for the last few years, our family's been here at home in our home church. And we've enjoyed our time here. It's been a blessing, of course, being able to be with everybody. But I just wanted to give everybody kind of a refresher update on what's been going on in our lives. Some of you ask, some people don't. And sometimes I know maybe you know, well, I don't want to ask or things like that. And so I just want to kind of give you an update. That way you do know what's going on. And some of you maybe not even know. So I'm kind of going to go back a little bit. In 2011, Ireland, their immigration laws had changed in January of 2011. They amended some of their laws, and it made it a little more stringent for people to be able to get in and to be able to get approvals to be able to stay in Ireland. When we went to Ireland in 2005, we would apply for a one-year visa. That's the most they would give you, is a one-year religious workers visa. And we would apply for that every year, and we would do that year after year after year. We got four of those approvals while we were living there, and no problems at all. But the trouble came in January. I'm sorry, I think it was February or March. We applied in 2011 for our fifth stamp on our passport, which would have given us one more year there. Then after that, we would have been able to apply for full-time residency to be a citizen there in Ireland. We'd have had dual citizenship in Ireland and in here in America. We wouldn't have had any more problems. But since they had changed their laws and amended them in January of 2011, we applied just after that. Probably within 2 months of that law changing, we sent in our paperwork. And we were planning on coming back to the States in the spring of 2011 because our son Joshua, you know him, he was coming back to go to college, and he had to get his driver's license and a lot of other things, his ACT tests and all kinds, and get him into college and all that. And so we were planning on staying throughout the rest of the year and being here for kind of a furlough, a deputation kind of time to get our support bumped up to where we needed it to be. Right now, we're currently about 80% of our support, just so you're aware of where we are. And we were going to leave right after Christmas. Well, sometime during that year, we had learned that other missionaries were having trouble with their immigration. They were having trouble getting a renewed stamp on their passport. And it's all because the law had changed the few months before. Well, we had applied in, I think it was March of 2011. And just before we had left to come back, to bring our son back, we were hoping that we would have got our approval by that time. It did not come in time. I don't know if it was just delayed or what it was. We never did get it before we left. And so we left. And turns out that was the big hiccup. That's the big hiccup that we've been dealing with over the past few years, is that we left before the approval or denial came. And every year we've tried to apply after that, they've just denied it. And we have there's nobody to talk to, there's nobody to call, there's no office to go sit in and wait and discuss it with somebody. They only want to deal with it through the mail. And so we've of course, have been communicating with them through the mail often. Each time I'm in Ireland, you know I've been going every few months to Ireland. And every time I'm there in the country, I reapply and I send in my paperwork for my family to be able to get approvals. And each time it's come back, it's been denied. And so once again, all my wife and I can think of is that we left at a critical time when they had just changed the laws and we had not received an answer, yes or no. And we were planning on coming back anyways because of our son going to college. And so there's that hiccup that we're dealing with, and that's the kind of loop that we've been caught up in the last few years. As you know, I've been going. My goal would be to be able to go to Ireland up to six times a year, every 2 months, every 60 days. We would like to. We could go up to 90 days at a time. And of course, if I can be there longer like that, then we wouldn't be having to go five or six times a year. We were able to go 2 years ago. We thought we had it all sorted out. We thought we had the approval and everything cared for. And a whole family went 2 years ago. And we were there all summer. And on the 87th day, they sent us a letter saying that we were denied to stay, and we had just 3 days to kind of scurry and be able to leave the country. And it was a very difficult situation for us. It was a very discouraging time, but really there's nothing that we could do, and we've just left it in the Lord's hands. And we said, Lord, whatever you want to do, I don't understand what's happening, and I may never understand until we get to heaven. But because of this, though, I've been able to work with all the other missionaries that are there. All of them know my situation. There are missionaries who are going through the same thing I'm going through right now. There are some missionaries who have been denied. There have been some missionaries who have been accepted to be able to stay just recently. And so there's some hope. And also there's rumors, and it's also on the immigration website for Ireland that they're going to be upgrading and amending their laws once again. And so we're thinking it's going to be in the fall, and so we're hoping that will actually help us. We're not sure if it's going to go our way or maybe may not go our way. We don't know, but we're praying about that. And so please pray about that. I am continually putting in the paperwork. I'm continually getting denied. I'm continually sending letters saying, why am I getting this answer? And is there anybody I could talk to? And there's just no response about it. So just pray about that. But one of the things that's happened that's been a positive thing is that God has opened the doors to many opportunities throughout the country, throughout Ireland, throughout Northern Ireland, which is part of the UK. And the missionaries know my situation, and they've said, Brother Correa, when you're here, boy, we'd love to have you come where we're at in our church and help us. You know, it'd be an encouragement to our church, be encouragement to us, our family. How many of you were here when Pastor got back from Barbados from the trip, and he said it was an encouragement to those missionaries? How many of you were here and you heard that? I was so glad that he said that, because missionaries go through a difficult time on the mission field. They feel alone. Many missionaries feel all by themselves. They feel like they're the only ones kind of out there doing it, and there's nobody within 500 miles of them. And there might be people close to them, but they still feel very alone. And so when Pastor went over there and the group went over there, it was such an encouragement and a boost to them. And you can read their prayer letter, the Smith's prayer letter, out there on the wall, and you can just read it in the words on their letter, how encouraging it was to them that somebody came and spent that time with them. And so while I'm in the country, of course, we're out soul winning, we're out doing VBS, we're out getting tracts out, we're out canvassing areas, we're out getting the gospel out. John and Romans, of course, you know, our DVD project, we're about halfway, a little more than halfway through that. We've got 6,000 of those that we've given out in the country. And so wherever we go, we're being a help. We're being a blessing to the church. We're being a blessing to the missionaries. We're helping the church. People that may get saved or get the DVDs or John and Romans or whatever we're distributing, they're coming to the local church, and so that's a blessing. And so there have been some positive things, although it's not what we would prefer. It's not what we would if we could orchestrate the whole thing. It's not the way I would have done it, but I know God's in control. Amen. And I know God knows better than I do, and I just have to trust Him. I'd love to have the control myself. I'd love to be able to pull the strings and say, well, this is how it's going to work. I'm going to pull this string and pull that string, and it'll all work out for us in the end. But I know God knows better than I do, and He's smarter than I am, wiser than I am. And so we're leaving it in his hands, and that's where we're kind of leaving it for the time being, is that I'm going to continue taking trips. I'm leaving this Thursday. Please pray for that trip. I'll be gone a few weeks, and I'm going to be in two different cities. While I'm there, I have a home base, which is with the Calvary Baptist Church in Cork, Ireland, and that's missionary Lionel Smith that's there. And he has reached out to us, our family. We've become very good friends with them. And they've said, when you're here in the country, consider this home. Consider this where you can hang your hat, and you can say this is where your home is. That's where my mail goes to. Whenever I send out a request to get my permission approved to stay in Ireland, the mail goes to his house there. So he's done all he can to be able to help, and he's been a big blessing to us. And so I'll be in his church, Lord willing, this next Sunday, and I look forward to that. And then the following Sunday, I'll be in another church, and I'll be able to, Lord willing, be able to spend time with two or maybe three different missionaries and encourage them and help them as much as I can. And we're looking forward to whatever God has in store for us. But I just want to give you a little update, just touch base with you a little bit. But we're excited about it. Ireland is not going in the right direction. How many have read the news? What happened in Ireland the last few days? It's very discouraging, actually. About 2 years ago, while we were there for the whole summer, they were going through an abortion issue in Ireland, trying to legalize abortion, and just a horrific thing. We were hoping that it would not pass, but they did pass it. They voted, the country voted, and they decided to legalize it in Ireland, and we just couldn't believe it. I mean, a country that's 92% Catholic at legalizing abortion, but they did. And then just a few days ago on Friday, they voted a referendum to pass to make it legal for same-sex marriage, and they passed it. Passed the vote Saturday morning, and so that is now legal. And so Ireland needs your prayers. The people of Ireland need your prayers. They're getting further and further away from God, and they need the gospel. Amen. That's the only thing that's going to make a difference in their lives is the gospel. And so please pray for the churches there. Pray for the missionaries, and pray as we go and as we knock on doors, we talk to people in the city, talk to people in the streets, and just to try and get the word of God in their hands. Because that's what made a difference in my life. I heard the preaching of the word of God, and it changed my life, and it worked on my heart. And that's the only thing that's going to pierce through that darkness. It's going to pierce through that callous heart is the word of God. And so please pray. We're going to work on saturating the cities that we go to with gospel tracts and John and Romans and these DVDs. We got another 4,000 to get out. And just please pray about that. And we desperately need your prayers as we move forward with that. If you have any questions, please talk to me about it. I'd be happy to explain anything. I hope I did a good job at explaining from the time we've been back until now where we're at. But if you have any further questions, if there are any gaps or whatever, just please talk to me. I'll be happy to try and fill in any gaps or anything that you may be wondering about. All right, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Psalms, chapter number 103, where Tim had read for us just a few moments ago. We're going to look at these verses here in just a minute. But as I was thinking about Memorial Day, boy, I like Memorial Day, amen? And I like the days, the holidays that have to do with America. I love 4th of July. And not just for the barbecues or not just for, fun and things like that. But I love the holidays that commemorate, that remind us about the wonderful country that we live in. And we do live in the best country in the world. Amen? And I believe we do. I don't believe America's perfect, but I believe America is the best place in the world. And so I praise the Lord for that. And I got to thinking about, though, America. I got thinking about the past. And I did a little research, did a little thinking about our country. And it just got me just kind of reminiscing, I guess, a little bit. And I wrote down a few things, just things that I remember from the past. So I wrote down just a few things I wanted to mention to you. Remember when the national anthem was played at the end of television, when the television day was done broadcasting? How many remember that? Watching television and then the national anthem come. Boy, I love that. And it reminded me, of course, of America and nostalgia. I got thinking about remember back when. Remember the good old days and things like that. And some of you have you could probably throw in a lot of days like this, but remember when men would hold the door open for ladies and honor them. Remember when you used to make fun out of the simplest things? You didn't need television or the radio or an iPod or a computer. You just would make fun out of just the simplest things. And our kids used to do that when we would, at Christmas time, they would open up their toys and they'd play with the box. How many have ever done that before? You saw your kids play with the box. You wouldn't play with a toy, you'd play with a box. But just some of the simplest things. You didn't need all kinds of gadgets. Remember the days when you used to leave your front door unlocked? And boy, you can't do that anymore. And how about the days when you could leave your car keys in the car? And my dad did that all the time. And one day he got the car stolen because he did that. But most of the time you could do that. It was like 0 degrees outside, and somebody was walking by, and he thought, well, I don't want to walk anymore. And he just got in the car and drove off with it. And but they found it a few miles down the road. But how many of you guys, you remember the days you could actually work on your car? And you can't work on your car today, amen? And I remember, not this car we have now, but a few cars ago, I went to look at it. I was going to buy it. And I lifted the hood. I don't know why I lifted the hood. We just do that. I mean, nothing you're going to look and see under there anymore these days. But just a bunch of plastic. And the salesman, I remember he said to me, he said, sir, he goes, you don't have to worry about anything under this hood. He goes, the only thing you have to worry about is the things marked in yellow. You know, the wiper fluid and the brake fluid and things like that. That's all you have to worry about. And, you know, used to be years ago, you'd look under there and you'd look for signs of this or signs of that. And I don't know why we still do that. But you can't work on your cars these days. Remember when you traveled in cars without seatbelts? How many remember that? Or you travel in the back of the pickup truck, and it was legal to do that. I remember doing that, and that was always fun to do. My uncle would take me somewhere, and we'd have fun with that. Remember when you wake up early Saturday morning and watch cartoons? How many remember? How many did that? Boy, I love doing that. And how many of you remember a show called Patches and Pockets? How many remember that? I don't know why I wasted my time waking up to watch Patches and Pockets. That was the corniest show in the world. You had to get up at 6:30 in the morning to watch it, too. And how many remember Captain Kangaroo? Okay. And, but these are things just from the past. These are things that I remember. How many remember when the toy at the bottom of the box of cereal was really a pretty good toy? How many remember that? And now I don't think they even have toys anymore. Probably lawsuits. Kids probably eat it or whatever. I don't know. But I remember when those toys were actually pretty good toys. Remember when everyone would stand for the national anthem? Remember that? And nobody would goof off? Now you go to a ball game and they had the national anthem and there are kids goofing off, there are moms talking or whatever it might be, and it's just a shame to me. Remember when you could ride your bike anywhere and you'd feel safe? I remember when I was younger, I would ride my bike all over Adrian and I always felt safe. I never felt like something was going to happen to me. Remember when it was time to come indoors when the lightning bugs came out? And that's what my dad told me. He said, you can stay outside and play. I don't think he wanted us in the house, actually. And but he's, you know, go outside and play. But he said, when the lightning bugs came out, you got about 5 minutes and you can come back in and try and catch a few lightning bugs if you want, and then come in and leave the bugs outside, he'd say. But I mean, that was our little thing. You know, nowadays moms text their kids to come in or call them on their phones. 10-year-old kids running around with phones, and it's not the good old days anymore. Amen. But for some people, I guess, for kids, this is their good old days, I guess. But just wanted to share those things real quick. And since I couldn't do my mother-in-law jokes, I thought I'd do that. And Memorial Day. I'm looking forward to tomorrow, Memorial Day. And you know, if you you think about Memorial Day, we're gonna get into it here in just a moment here. But I want to just bring your attention to one of the verses we had here in Psalm 103. If you got your Bibles, keep it open there if you would. We're going to turn to several portions of Scripture, but I want to bring your attention to verse number 2. The Bible says in Psalm 103, verse number 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. I want to bring you a message I have entitled this morning, Forget Not. Forget Not. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for caring for us, Lord. Thank you for this wonderful country that we enjoy. Thank you so much for all you've blessed us with, Lord, and we don't even take time to think about it, I'm sure. But Lord, thank you. And Lord, I'm so sorry that we forget so many times things that we ought to be thankful for. But times like this, Memorial Day, 4th of July, days like this, they just remind us of the blessings that we have in this country, America, and the blessings that you've given us, Lord. And so I pray today, Lord, that we would honor you, that we would praise you, Lord, for what you've done. in this wonderful country and what you've done in our lives as Christians. And Lord, help us not to forget those things. Help us not to forget those benefits that you've blessed us with. Forget not all his benefits, the scripture says. And Lord, I pray that you use me this morning. Help my nervousness to go away. Help me, Lord, to say the words you'd want me to say. And help me, Lord, to preach your word boldly, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I don't know what you think about when you think about Memorial Day. Many people might think of, backyard barbecues. You know, you're out there and you're grilling. And if you go to the store yesterday, you go out there Friday, they're all busy and they got hamburger on sale. They got hot dogs on sale. And a lot of people think, boy, backyard barbecue starts Memorial Day weekend. Or maybe garage sale. How many like garage selling? And my wife told me, she said that's the official beginning of garage sale season is Memorial Day weekend. And so maybe you think about that. Maybe you think about family get-togethers. I don't know, but I believe it's good for us to remember what Memorial Day is all about. And we're going to get into that in a minute here. But the ability to remember is a wonderful gift from God. Boy, we'd be in trouble if we couldn't remember. Amen? But because of memory that God gives us, in just a flash, we can be back to a child as we were children and playing and enjoying our childhood. Or you can, and just because you remember, you can look back and remember 20 years ago, or my wife and I, just 20 some years ago when we were married and just young and falling in love. And then as we had children and our children were growing up. And just because of our memory, we can look back and remember all those things. We can look back and think about many different things. But praise the Lord for our memory. Now, just the other day, we were driving down the road, down Hunt Road, and my wife looked off on her right-hand side. We're going going east on Hunt Road, and there's an area there that my wife remembered when she was a young girl. She would say that's because they took a tree down. It was right in the middle of a field. They took a tree down. They cut it down. They chopped it up and they took it away. And I'm always probably sad right now thinking about it. But she remembered as a young girl, she would ride her horse across the street behind the field there, behind the barn, and up the field there. And she would sit there under that tree with her horse and just lay there under the tree and just enjoy a nice summer day. And then when they took that tree down, it just hurt her feelings. She thought that they shouldn't take that tree down because that's part of her childhood, and she remembers that. She remembers that time, and boy, it hurt her. I mean, she shed tears over that, actually, because we looked down the road, and we saw what they were doing, and I said, they're taking that tree down. She's like, she couldn't believe it, and thought it was just an outrage that they would do that. But she remembered that. She went back to her childhood just thinking about it, those days and those memories of being under that tree and just enjoying the cool breeze come through, or enjoying just laying there and just kind of a lazy day in the summer. And she remembered that. How many were here for graduation night and you watched that video that Brother Tim put together? And boy, you watch a video like that, and it takes you back through all those memories when the kids were, and they play that song on there that makes everybody cry before it even gets really started, about the memories and just watching the kids grow up and the years go by so fast. And boy, some of you are about to cry right now. But you watch a video like that, boy, your memory just goes back. And time does go by so quickly, doesn't it? Time goes by so fast, and we forget, but praise God for a memory that God gives us. Sometimes our memories help us recall wonderful experiences. Sometimes we remember sad things. Memories are also pretty practical as well. It's a good thing that when you're driving down the road, you remember what a red light stands for, amen? If you didn't know what a red light stood for, you'd be in trouble, amen? And you just go right on through it. Or you might forget an important date. You might forget your wife's birthday and you'd be in trouble, amen? You might forget your anniversary and you'd be really in trouble, amen? But sometimes our memory, it'll fail us. Maybe you heard of maybe you remember hearing about a guy by the name of John. John had a bad memory problem. And he ran to his friend Bill. He said, Bill, he said, how you doing? It's been a while since I saw you. Remember years ago, remember how I used to have a bad memory problem? And Bill said, yeah, I remember. It was really bad. And you couldn't hardly remember anything. You got yourself in trouble all the time. He says, well, I don't do that anymore. He says, my wife and I, we went to this seminar and they taught us a technique of how to not forget things. And we learned this new technique. He says, we're all better now. We don't forget like that anymore. And Bill said, really, what's the name of the seminar? And John says, let me think here. He says, the name of the seminar. He goes, hold on, let me ask my wife. She went with me, and she'll know. He turned to his wife, then he turned back to Bill, and he says, Bill, he says, what's the name of that flower with the long stem and with the thorns and the red flowers on it, or red petals? He goes, you mean a rose? He says, yes. He says, Rose, what's the name of that seminar we went to? And, you know, sometimes that your memory will get you in trouble, amen? But praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that if you might be getting in trouble like that too. Who knows? But there are events that we should never forget. And I think about Memorial Day. I did a little reading about Memorial Day. Memorial Day actually started near the end of the Civil War. Within a few years, people started practicing doing the practice of putting flowers out on military graves. And of course, many of you know it as being called Decoration Day. How many remember that being called Decoration Day? I remember that even. After World War I, it became a national holiday and dedicated to remembering all those who paid the ultimate sacrifice to pay for the freedoms that we enjoy today as being Americans. But people tend to forget about that, and we need little things, little helps to kind of jog our memory. And I don't want you to turn there, but I'll just mention a few things that God gives us as to remind us of things. In Genesis chapter 11, the Bible talks about that God destroyed the earth with a flood. He told Noah, he says, I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off anymore by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there be any more the flood to destroy the earth. The Bible talks about that in Genesis chapter 9. And God said, I do set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. So every time we see a rainbow, it reminds us of God's promises to us. Amen? And how many like seeing rainbows? I love to see rainbows. And in Ireland, we see rainbows. We saw them quite often, and especially in the springtime. But when we see a rainbow, it reminds us of God's covenant that he has with us, that he's not going to destroy the earth anymore by flood. But God put that bow in the sky as a reminder to us, because he didn't want us to forget. Also, another memorial was erected when Joshua led the people of Israel across the Jordan River. While they were crossing, Joshua told 12 men, one from each of the tribes, to go to the riverbed and take a stone and set it down and set up a memorial. You don't have to turn there, but John chapter 4, 6 and 7, Joshua says, this may be a sign unto you that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto your children of Israel forever. What a reminder that God gives to his people. God wants us to remember some things. God doesn't want us to forget, and he knows we will forget. He knows that's what we're apt to forget. And we live in today, we it's hard for us to remember. Sometimes our minds get older and we start to forget more than we remember. And but I want to just bring your attention to a few days that I believe God wants us to remember. Just 3 points this morning. I won't keep you long. It's right now, it's 11:30. We should be out before noon. And so I want to bring your attention to three points this morning. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. I'm going to read to you just verse number 2. The Bible says, first I'm going to mention to you, number 1, remember the day of your salvation. Remember the day of your salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 2, the Bible says, for he saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the day of the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Remember the day of your salvation. That should be the most important day of your life, the day that you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know, and you've heard me say this many times before, there are many days that are important days in my life, but nothing comes close to the day that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, today could be that day. Today could be your day of salvation, that you accept him as your Savior, so that you can know for sure that when you die, you'll be in heaven, that you won't have to go to hell for your sins, that your sins can be paid for, that Jesus paid for them already, and all you have to do is accept it as a free gift. And we can help you with that today. But I feel like today that most of us are saved here. I don't know. I don't know everybody's heart, but I just want to encourage you that if you're not saved and you've never done that, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. And today, after the service, when the invitation is given, you can come down front and there'll be people here to help you. And you can know for sure. You can find out today how you can know for sure when you die, you'll go to heaven. But I want to just talk to a little bit about God's people here. It says, you know the story behind God's people, that the people of Israel were sojourners and slaves in Egypt for over 400 years. Then God called Moses and said to Moses, "Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt and talk to Pharaoh. I want you to tell Pharaoh, let my people go." And we know the story. Moses did as God commanded, but Pharaoh refused to listen. And God would send another plague on Egypt. And every time as the plague got worse and worse, as it got to its very worst point, Pharaoh would say, "Okay," he said, just take away the plague and I'll let the people go." And then Moses would do that. Moses would go to God and God would take away the plague. And then, of course, we knew every time Moses would back out of his agreement, until finally it got to the last one where Moses tells the Egyptians, says, "This is what the Lord says. He says, about midnight, I will go throughout Egypt. Every firstborn son of Egypt will die. There will be a loud wailing throughout Egypt, worse than ever than has ever been and ever will be again." That's in Exodus chapter 11. You don't have to turn there. Then God gave instructions to the Israelites. Each family is to choose a year-old lamb, one without spot, one without blemish, the best of all your flock. And you know the story. You're supposed to slay it, and you're going to take the blood, and you're going to put it on the lintels, and you're going to put it on the side posts of your house. And this just reminds me of something. This is not in the message or anything, but we ought to give our very best to God. Amen. And so many times, just like in this story here, in Scripture, God told the Israelites, "Take your year old lamb, one without blemish, one without spot. Take your very best, and I want you to give it to me." And it reminds me that we're supposed to give our very best to God. We're not to give God our leftovers or give God just a little bit that we want or like you tip God with your time. And we've all heard the three T's: your time, your talent, your treasure. And I feel like, and I'm preaching to myself, I feel like that we give God just a little bit of time. You think about, we've all got 24 hours a day, and how much of that time do we actually give to God? Now, on Sunday, we do pretty good, because you're in church Sunday morning, you're in Sunday school, you're in church at night, and you read your Bible at home, and you can add up the time. You say, "Boy, I did pretty good." But how about Monday? How about Tuesday? We got 168 hours in a week, and I wonder, if we add it all up, how much time would we give God? Do we even give God a tithe of our time? And how about your talent? And in this church, though, I feel like I'm preaching to the choir, because there's so many people in this church have talent. And you can play an instrument, you can sing a special, you can do the choir, and just so many different things this church does. And I appreciate all that. But is there a talent that God's given you that we don't give to God? You don't offer it to God. And I want to encourage you, give your time, give your talent to the Lord. Give your very best to God. Don't give him your leftovers. And of course, your treasure. We all know what we should be giving. We should be giving to the work of the Lord. We should be giving to missions, tithing, giving to different projects. And once again, I know I'm preaching to the choir. There have been several different projects already this year, and people have given toward it. The hymnals and the carpet and the buses. And there's probably some things I've forgotten. And pastor's always got a project, amen? He's always got something coming up. And praise the Lord, though. Those are opportunities to give to our God, to give back to our Lord. And we ought to give our very best, just like in Scripture here, they gave the very best. So God told them, take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood and that's in the basin, and strike the lintels and the doorposts and the two doorposts. And the Bible says, "For the Lord will pass through and smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintels and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in to your house to smite you." So someone of the Jewish household, of course, would do that and would apply the blood. And that night, just as God had told them, he brought the judgment upon Egypt, and there was weeping and wailing in the homes of the Egyptians. But everywhere God saw the blood of the lamb, he passed by, and everyone was spared. The next morning in Exodus chapter 12, verse 33, the Bible says that the Egyptians urged the people to hurry up and leave the country. Get out of here and hurry up and leave the country. Take all you want, just leave. And finally, the 400 years of bondage were over. They were free. They were finally free. Take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 12. Let's turn back there. I'm going to read you just a verse or two. Exodus chapter 12. And we're going to look at verse number 14. Exodus chapter 12 and verse number 14. The Bible says, "And this shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast of the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." I want to bring your attention to that first part of that verse. "And this shall be unto you for a memorial." You know, God doesn't want us to forget about that day that they were set free. They were out of Egypt. And of course, Egypt is a picture of the world. And this is a picture of us accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior, a picture of our salvation. You know, don't ever forget the day that you were freed from Egypt. You were freed from bondage. And that no longer are you under that penalty. That when God saw the blood applied, like he saw it on the doorpost and saw it on the lintels, when he sees it on you, he'll pass over it and judgment won't be there. Hey, praise the Lord for that day. Amen. And don't ever forget that. The Bible says, let this day be a memorial. Don't ever forget the day of your salvation. Don't ever forget how God's blessed you to give you an opportunity to be saved. Now some of you, maybe you've had several opportunities to get saved, and you just fought it, and you would not get saved the first time you heard it, the second time, the third time, but finally you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Don't ever forget about that day. What a wonderful day that should be in your life. Don't ever forget how good God is to give us salvation. You know, but maybe you need that restored. Maybe you say, "Well, I'm saved. I know I'm saved, but I'm just not joyous. I'm just not happy. I'm just not excited like I used to be." And the Bible talks, you don't have to turn there, but Psalm 51:12, David talks about, he says, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, of thy salvation. Restore it unto me." David was going through a difficult time. David had sinned. David had done wrong, and he wasn't happy anymore. He wasn't excited. He knew things were bothering him and weighing him down. He says, "Lord, restore it unto me." He goes, "I want to have that joy I used to have. I want to have that excitement that I used to have. God, restore the joy of thy salvation unto me. Restore it unto me." Maybe that would be a decision you might want to make today, just to come to God and say, "God," when we give the invitation, say, "God, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. I don't ever want to forget. I don't want to ever to become old hat. I don't ever want it to become just kind of humdrum or melancholy in my heart and my life. I want to always be excited that Jesus Christ saved my soul." You know, because if you let that become old hat, boy, I tell you, that's a sad day. That would be a sad thing for the Lord, to know all what the Lord did for us, to die on the cross, to shed his blood, to be falsely accused, to be put on a cross, and to be whipped, and to be just ridiculed, and all that happened to him, and for him to die on that cross to pay for your sin. And we're kind of like, "Oh, well, yeah, I was excited about it 20 years ago, but not anymore. I was excited about it 10 years ago, but no, you know, yeah, I'm saved, but so what?" And boy, that's so sad. That's so sad. And we ought to always be happy, be excited about our salvation. Number one, remember the day of your salvation. Number two, remember how good God is to us. Go back to Psalm 103, where we started off. Psalms 103. I want to look at that verse one more time here. Psalm 103, and Tim read to us verses 1 through 5, and I want to read them to you one more time here. Verse number 1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Boy, there are so many benefits to being a Christian. Amen. And remember how good God is to you. When I read that verse, especially verse number 2, I think about what is it? Lester Roloff. Yeah, we have a CD of Lester Roloff, and he does these scripture songs and his old raspy voice, and I can't do it. But when he does, but you can hear the old timey music in the background. He's saying, he's like, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." Let me read it here. Where's it at here? "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. That's how we would say it. His benefits. And we would listen to that in the car, and we have it actually in the car now. Maybe we'll listen to it on the way home. But boy, it's encouraged me to think about, boy, all of his benefits. Think about that. All of his benefits. Forget not all of his benefits. And, you know, but we forget. We forget. Our minds forget about his benefits. And I remember when I was working, going through Bible college, I was working at overnight transportation just south of Chicago, though, South Holland, Illinois. And I remember an older man came in to work, and he was probably he's probably close to 60 years old. You know, back then he was old, but now he's not as old now. And that was some years ago. And it's funny how the date just keeps getting pushed off further and further. And but I remember he came into, he just started working there. He was almost 60 years old, and working at a trucking company, working on the dock. And working on with freight and unloading trucks and, you know, trailers and heavy equipment. And I thought, boy, I don't know how this guy's going to do because, you know, he's older and it just doesn't look like he can lift a lot of weight and he can't do a lot of work. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, maybe they'll put him on some kind of special duty or because he can't do maybe what everybody else does. And I would ask him, I said to him one time, why did you get this job? Why didn't you find an easier job maybe to do? And he told me, he said, I'm not here for the hourly pay. He goes, I'm not here for whatever kind of work. He goes, I'm only here for the benefits. He said, that's the only reason I'm working here is for the benefits. He goes, I need the benefits. He needs the insurance, and he needs the 401k, and he needs all those things. He said, I need the benefits. And I think to myself, you know, so many times we don't think about the benefits of being a Christian. And I think to myself, of course, the obvious things are that you're saved. You're a Christian, you're saved, you're not going to go to hell, you're going to go to heaven, you're God's child. All those things are benefits. You have God's promises, you read through Scripture and read promises. Those are promises for you, a child of God. And those are benefits, amen? But I wrote down just a few of the benefits I wanted to share with you. Number one, one of the benefits is your church, amen? And I'm so thankful for Berean Baptist Church. I'm so thankful for a place you can come to and that people love you and that people you can fellowship and you can talk and you can eat we've been having a lot of eating time, amen. And we got another one coming up here soon. I won't be here for that. You guys always have a Sunday night snack when I'm gone, and I don't know what planned it out that way or what, we fellowship, we sing, we praise the Lord, just many things that we do here at church, and I enjoy all of it. I'm excited to be part of all of it. And our church, what a benefit. What a blessing that we have this extended family amongst each other because we're Christians. Amen? And that's one of the things that my wife and I love about when we travel and we go to different churches and we get to present our ministry to Ireland and talk about things like that. Whenever we go somewhere, automatically you have another family. You walk in, they're saved, they're part of your family. They're extended family. I think about Brother Bennett as he goes down to Bradenton. He goes down there, he's got a church family, amen? And he enjoys that down there. And my mother-in-law's here as well, and they when they're down in Florida for the winter, they have a church family that they go down there, and they enjoy. And it's just wherever you go, you've got extended family. What a blessing, the church. What a blessing that is. And not only that, but what about the building? Praise the Lord for this building that God's given us. We don't have a mortgage on it either, amen? And that is a huge blessing. I can't tell you how many churches around the country who just struggle and just trying to get by because they have a huge mortgage payment. And they have to cut back on missions. They can't do VBS. They have to do everything real light and real thin because they have such a burden of a building and a mortgage payment. So praise the Lord for that. And especially when emergencies happen, like the water, the roof leaking last winter, and we had to be down in the basement. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that we had a fellowship hall that we can turn to and we can have that. Don't forget about the benefits we have as a Christian. You have your church. You have your family. Amen. Husbands, God's given you a wonderful wife. Amen? And this is where you're supposed to say amen, guys. Amen? And God's given you a wonderful wife. Praise the Lord for that. Wives, God's given you a wonderful husband. Hey, guys, think about the things that your wife does for you. And things that you don't want to do for yourself. And I would name some, but I don't want to get you in trouble. And ladies, thank God for the husband that God's given you. Thank God for the children that God's given you. If God's blessed you with children, praise God for that. Thank God for that. What a blessing. These are all benefits. These are all things that God has blessed us with. Thank God for your parents. And thank God for your grandparents. I've never known my grandparents.
But you know what? Since my wife and I have been married, I've been able to enjoy her grandparents, and I've been able to just get to talk with them and enjoy them because I've never known mine. Never knew them. They passed away before I was of age to get to know them. And praise God for your aunts and your uncles and for, once again, your church family. God is good to us. Amen. God has blessed us and greatly. So number one of the benefits of being a Christian, remember how good God is to us. Remember your church. Remember your family. Remember your health. You say, Brother Crea, you don't know my health. You don't know the things I struggle with. And you don't know how my back's hurt. My back hurts and my knees hurt and my arthritis and all that. But you know what? Praise God for what you do have. Amen. Praise God that you can get up in the morning, even though it might be a little slower than it was a few years ago, but praise God that you can still do it, and you can come in the church, and you can enjoy the things that God has blessed you with. I remember years ago, Tim, you probably remember this too, Dr. Howes would talk about, when he would travel, he'd be gone Monday and Tuesday preaching somewhere and come back, and he'd be at First Baptist for Wednesday, and he'd travel somewhere for Thursday and Friday and preach somewhere and come back on Saturday. And so every week he was two different places other than him. And he would say once a month, he would when he'd be in a hotel room, he would take an hour out of the time he was in his hotel room, and he would put a blindfold over his eyes because he would walk around. He would get around the hotel room for an hour with a blindfold over his eyes because he wanted to thank God that he was able to see. Thank God that he could see, and he knew there were people around the world who couldn't see. People in the very church couldn't see. They were blind, and they couldn't see, so he wanted to know what it was like, so he'd put a blindfold over his eyes 1 hour a month, and he would get around the hotel room like that to be thankful for his eyesight. He would stuff cotton in his ears so that he could not hear for an hour a month in a hotel room, and he would get by that way. And he would also I remember him saying at nighttime, he would open the windows and turn off the air conditioner because he said people at the college, they didn't have air conditioning, and he'd lay there in bed, lay there in his hotel room, just sweating, trying to sleep, because he said there are people at Howes Anderson College who didn't have air conditioning. He said, I'm not going to have air conditioning either. And he would do that. He wanted to know what it was like, and to remember, to be thankful for what you do have, amen? And be thankful that you could see. Be thankful that you can walk around. Be thankful that you can use your hands and you can use your legs and you can get around. Be thankful you can use your mind and you can remember things. Be thankful for those things. Whose phone's ringing, amen? And it's not mine. Okay. I just want to make sure it wasn't mine. And so number one, be thankful for your church. Number two, be thankful, be grateful for your family. Remember how good God has been to you. Be thankful and for your health. And number three, remember how good God is to us to give you a service to serve in. Well, we have so many opportunities to serve God in this church. Amen? And we have soul winning. We have Sunday schools to teach. We have bus routes to work on. We have master clubs to help in. We have VBS to help out in. And boy, I always look forward to VBS and see who's going to be a different character this year. And there's a lot of characters, amen, in this church, for sure. And the fair ministry always needs help. Shepherd's ministry, nursing homes, prison ministry, missions. There's all kinds of opportunities to serve in this church. And I thank God for it. What a blessing that is that we have opportunities to serve our God. We have opportunities to serve our God. We're just human. We're just little. We're just dirt. But God gives us opportunities to be able to serve Him. Praise God for that. I pray this church will always recognize how good God is to us and to rededicate ourselves, if we need to Him. Number one, remember the day of your salvation. Number two, remember how good God is to us. And number three, lastly, remember His sacrifice and love for us. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm going to start reading in verse number 24, just reading a few verses here. And it was the night before the crucifixion that Jesus met with his disciples in the upper room to celebrate the Passover together. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we've heard Pastor read these verses many times when we do the Lord's Supper. The Bible says, chapter 11, verse number 24, and when he had given thanks, he break it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is a new testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Both of those verses, it said, in remembrance of me. Let's not forget about the sacrifice that Jesus Christ paid for us so that we can have a home in heaven. We can have an opportunity to be in heaven. Once again, it was the night before the crucifixion. Jesus was with his disciples there in the upper room, and it was the evening to be remembered, and God had long ago commanded. But as they ate, Jesus gave them something new, something greater to remember. For Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This do in remembrance of me." Don't forget about what we're doing here. Jesus went through so much for you and I, so that we can have an opportunity to be in heaven. You know, if Jesus would have said, "Look, I know what I'm about to go through. I know I'm about to be falsely accused. I know I'm about to be falsely arrested. I know they're gonna ridicule me. They're gonna spit on me. They're gonna pull out my beard and punch me in the face. They're gonna put me on a mock trial. They're gonna make fun of me and they're gonna let Barabbas go. They're gonna let a murderer go, and they're gonna punish me." And Jesus said, "You know, I'm going to go through all this and more." And he could have easily walked away. He could have easily said, "You know what? I'm not going to do it." And I'm so thankful that he did it. I'm so thankful that he didn't back out. I'm so thankful that he went forward and he was willing to go through all that. And that he was put on that mock trial and he was found guilty. And they put that cross on his back and had him carried all the way to the place of the skull, Golgotha. And they put him there and they nailed him to that cross. And of course that we know they whipped him, they the cat of nine tails, and most men don't even get through that. I don't know, I remember reading one time what the percentages were, but it wasn't a high percentage of men didn't even get through that portion of the punishment. And then to be taken to a cross and be nailed there, and the Bible says not even recognizable as a human being being there nailed on that cross. And he did that for you and me. He did that so that I can have a home in heaven. And at any time, Jesus could have called legions of angels to come and to be able to rescue him. Any time, Jesus could have called on his Father to take him back to heaven, but he didn't do it. You know, when we take the Lord's Supper, we take the bread, and I hold the bread there in my hand as the men are giving it out, and I think about Jesus' body. Many people turn to Scripture and read portions of Scripture. Many people pray. But when I get that bread in my hand, I bow my head and I think about Jesus' body. And it was broken for me. It was broken and bleeding and just opened up and just hurt. And he did that for me. His body was broken for me. And I think about him up on that cross and all he did. And I thank him. I said, "Jesus, thank you. You didn't come down." And can you imagine people standing there saying, you saved others, but you can't save yourself. Yeah, you did miracles, but do a miracle now. And they tempted him to do something to come down. They said, "If you come down, we'll believe you. You come down, then we'll worship you." And boy, to us, we would have wanted to prove them, prove our point that we are who we say we are. We would have wanted to have done it, but I'm so thankful he didn't come down. And when the men pass the juice, the cup, and I get that cup in my hand, I usually put it in the little cup holder there in front of you, and I look at it and I think about it, and I think to myself, the blood of Jesus Christ paid for my sin. Just a drop of Jesus' blood, how precious that is. That it is enough to pay for the sin of the world. How precious that is. And I think, "Jesus, thank you so much for allowing your blood to be shed to pay for my sin. Your sacrifice on the cross is everything to me. Your sacrifice that you paid that day, that you could have gotten off the cross. You could have gone back to heaven. You could have said, 'I'm not going to do it. I was going to go through with it, but I'm not going to go through with it now.' But you went, you followed through. You went all the way through. And you did it for me. And without that, I wouldn't be able to hold that little piece of bread. Without that, without Jesus' sacrifice and his love, I wouldn't be able to hold that little cup of juice and remember his blood being shed for me. And I'm so thankful that Jesus went through it and he didn't quit. He kept going and he didn't back out of what he was going to do. And because of that, it paid for our way to go to heaven. And I'm so glad I accepted his grace, his mercy when I asked him to be my Savior that day. Remember his sacrifice. Remember his love, especially in this time of the year, we've got Memorial Day. You know, tomorrow, I don't know if there'll be a parade or not. I think there's going to be a parade in downtown. And when I look at the veterans that go by and the VFW and different things, and I think to myself, these men, at one day they gave their life. One day they signed up and didn't know if they're going to come back home or not. One day they signed up and said, I'm going to go and serve this country because I love this country. I'm going to put my body out there in danger, and I'll shed my blood if I have to. And I think to myself, that's exactly what Jesus did. He put his body out there in danger, and he didn't come back. And he shed his blood so that I can go to heaven. And I'm so thankful for what the veterans have done for us. You're here today, and you're a veteran. I'm so thankful for your sacrifice and for what you've done for our country. Let me thank you so much for your sacrifice. Our family appreciates it. We're places we see military, my wife and I, we go up to them, we talk to them, we thank them for it. I remember we were in Shannon Airport in Shannon, Ireland, and we were flying back to the States here for something, I don't remember, but they have a lot of U.S. military in there for some reason. I don't know, it's just a stopping point for when they go from America, they stop in Ireland, and then from there they distribute to Germany or different parts of Europe. But there's always a couple hundred U.S. military in there, and we went and talked to a few of them and prayed with them. And I remember my wife, we didn't have anything to give them. We wanted to give them something, but my wife gave them her soul-winning New Testament, so that they'll have the Word of God where they're going. They're going into the battlefield, going into the danger, but, you know, they have the Word of God with them. And so just so thankful for what the military does. But it reminds me of how good God is to us. God has blessed this country greatly. God has blessed us as a people greatly. And he's blessed us as Christians greatly. Remember the day of your salvation. And number two, remember how good God is to us. And number three, remember his sacrifice and his love that he's paid for us.